Back to throw. Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
What's going on, 49er faithful? Welcome back to another episode of Move the Chains. We're coming off a big win and a season sweep of the Arizona Cardinals. So we're now 5-0 in the division, currently sitting 11-3. Around the league a little bit real quick, the Cowboys lost to the Bills and the Eagles lost to the Seahawks. So thank you to Seattle and Buffalo for helping us out. We are now sitting alone on top of the NFC. Before I continue any further, of course, with me as always is my good buddy Alex. Alex, what's going on, my man?
What's up, Sean? What's up, 49er faithful? 11-3, man. Top of the NFC, and looking at our last major matchup, you know, before the playoffs begin, right, against the Baltimore Ravens, who are also 11-3 and number one seed of the AFC.
Yeah. This is one that we circled right when the schedule came out, right? Because not only do we play on Thanksgiving night, we're also playing on Christmas night. So, you know, the league thought highly of us as a draw, right? But yeah, you know, this is like you said, pretty much the last big challenge that we're going to have. We'll get into some of the scenarios with Week 18 and the Rams and whatnot. But currently, as it sits, you know, again, we're number one. We have three games left. Any combination of two wins, right, without needing the Eagles or Cowboys to do anything. If we just win two of the final three, we're guaranteed to be at home for a first-round bye and then have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which, of course, you know, we remember how the last two NFC Championship games ended on the road. We do not want to be on the road again. Being at home like we were in 2019 would be huge. So that's the goal at hand. But, of course, hey, this is a heck of a matchup we got to jump into with the Ravens.
Yeah, and then just to tie up last week, I know, Sean, you mentioned, you know, we swept the Arizona Cardinals. But real quick with that game is the standouts is going to be two picks from Mooney Ward, who is trying to get some all-pro consideration, and he has full support of that defense. One of those picks was a pick six all the way to the house.
Oh, it was a beautiful one too, man. It was one of those where – you know, it's you're watching on TV, you know, the camera cuts across. It was, you know, the play was going from right to left on our screens. And it's one of those where right as the ball gets to where the receiver is, it's jumped, right? It's picked. He jumps the route. And you hear it, and it's picked off. And he's running full speed the other way. Those are the best
blazing, kind. Blazing those speed, man.
Those are the best kind, you know? I mean, it's not off like a, not off of a tip or some one of those, you know, where they kind of catch it and have a run back, but no, this is, I mean, he shot out of a cannon. It reminded me of that famous pick six that Dion had in Atlanta years, many, many, many years ago for the Niners.
What made it a great story is it was his first one, and he was super excited for that one.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely deserved it.
By the way, speaking of Mooney Ward, I know this is sort of, we didn't talk about this off air, but did you hear what he said on Eric Armstead's podcast?
No.
So they talked about the Super Bowl from 4 years ago, and he basically goes, you know what? He goes, obviously, you're confident. He's like, we were confident we were going to win. Who's not? Who goes into the Super Bowl thinking you're going to lose, right? He says, well, we just knew that if we got to a certain point where we would force, you know, Jimmy to make a play, put the ball in Jimmy's hands, and if it came down to that, we knew we were going to win. And Armstead even kind of chuckles, like, you know. Yeah, and that's – obviously, like, that's water under the bridge, but I think it was just something worth mentioning because you know, Tarvarius Ward, Mooney was a chief at the time, for those who are not familiar. But
it paints a better picture of what the team thinks of Brock Purdy. I think they have the full confidence.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what – yeah.
I think that's the difference. And then speaking of Brock Purdy, four touchdowns in the game.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, complete efficiency, which we're going to get onto.
You know what, real quick, before you continue further, again, shout out to Brock Purdy, man. He's putting up some insane stats. We're not going to get into some of the media stuff right away. But I remember at a time, you know, growing up watching Steve Young and Jeff Garcia, sort of that benchmark number for a quarterback, you know, for a good week. You know, for a receiver, it's, you know, 10 catches, 100 yards, you know, or 100 some odd yards, a touchdown or two, right? For quarterback, I used to feel like a 300-yard day and or four touchdowns, right? That was a benchmark of a really good day for a good quarterback.
Yeah, I guess that's to Brock there. He's absolutely lighting it up.
Like we mentioned, Eagles lost, Cowboys lost. Leading the NFC, we do have a little bit of cushion. Technically, we can lose this game against the Baltimore Ravens. And like Sean said, we got to win two out of the next three. So if we wrap up the season by beating the Commanders and beating the Rams, we should, you know, lock up that number one seed. So we have a little bit of a breather, I guess you can say. But rare matchup. Sean did some of the history on this one. So it dates back with the whole move, with the whole creation of the Baltimore Ravens in 96. That was our first matchup. I'm going to let you take this.
We So the Browns moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. 96 was their first year. And we played them that year. The Niners won in Candlestick. That was actually, I think, a game where Elvis Gerbach got in the game. I want to say Steve Young might have been hurt at that time. He had a couple of rough years in the mid-90s when between Ricky Waters and Garrison Hurst arriving, where he was basically our run game. So he got pretty beat up. We didn't play them again until 03. That was a game where it was year one of Dennis Erickson, and it was 44-6, I want to say. That's off the top of my head right now. This is when T.O. was in his final year, and you could see the writing on the wall. Right? And the team finished 7-9, and we underachieved. Probably should have been 10-6, should have been a playoff team, but they didn't quite get there. Lost a lot of weird close games. And then 07... Right, this is when the scheduling formula comes into play. We played him every 4 years. 07, we actually had Trent Dilfer on our roster as our quarterback. Alex Smith had gotten injured, so we had Trent Dilfer, who famously won the Super Bowl with the Ravens. And we lost 9-7. I think Joe Dendy missed a kick late in the game with a chance to win it, but we lost by 2 points. 2011, of course, the first Harbaugh Bowl, which was the Thanksgiving night game. And a big reason why I want revenge on these guys, as well as the Super Bowl, of course, which was those two matchups in the Harbaugh era. I'm not ready to talk about that or open those wounds. I'm going to fast forward to 2015, a game that I actually went to at Levi's. This is the only time they've been to Levi's so far. And we won. I want to say we won by 8 or 9. It was one of those weird score games. Kaepernick played decently well in a surprise, and he hit Torrey Smith on a long touchdown. But it was a weird year. I think Baltimore themselves, they were sort of in a down year, right? As were the Niners, obviously. This is when the whole team imploded the year before. And then last but not least, 2019, we played them in the rain. It was an early December game. It was hyped up. I think we were 10-2 at the time. 10-1 or 10-2.
Yeah. Was that our gauntlet? That was the Saints. That was the gauntlet with the Saints. I think maybe the Seahawks, the Ravens.
No. That was, I remember, it was the Packers, the Ravens, and the Saints. So we had three games in a row against teams that were like 9-1 or better, something like that.
Yeah. So. I think we were 10 wins. Were we 10 wins at that time?
And we
10 wins and up.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no, we lost that one right at the buzzer. I know we had some penalties. We had some issues in that game. It was raining, you know, 10 a.m. game on the East Coast. But, it was 17-17 going into the fourth. And then, you know, they won on a walk-off field goal with Justin Tucker, who let's face it, he's a Hall of Fame kicker. That guy's headed straight to Canton in 5 years. So, yeah, if you're keeping score at home, we're just 2-5 against them. You know, it's not a team we play often. But, you know, we're just 2-5, of course, with the loss in February of 2013 being the glaring one. So, and with that being said, they've actually, out of those seven matchups, five have been against John Harbaugh. You know, he's currently the third longest tenured head coach in the league. He was hired in 08. So the only guys in front of him are Mike Tomlin, who was hired a year before, and Belichick.
Yeah, it shows the stability in the franchise.
Yeah, it really does.
Think about the Ravens; they don't miss the playoffs for too many years in a row, right? They'll eventually get there. They nice and steady. They build teams. Right now, they're riding this Lamar Jackson train. They've been riding it since his rookie year in 2018. Actually, you can say since 2019, right? 2018, he didn't really play much, but they've been riding.
Well, he led them to the playoffs. They were probably going to fall short, but he got them. You know, into the playoffs.
Yeah, but he started mid-year, didn't he? Towards the end of the year, they set Flacco.
He took over sort of mid-year,
He took over officially full season 2019. I believe that was his MVP season.
That was MVP year,
They've been knocking on the door, man. They have a well-structured team. John Harbaugh is a great coach. They are top five.
That's a top-notch, top-quality organization.
Yeah, top-quality.
They do a lot of things. They take care of their guys. You know, they conduct business. You forget the fact that, you know, all these teams, you know, out there, there's no sort of a guideline, right? There's no rule. Meaning these guys are free to have a pretty crappily run organization, right? There's a lot of owners out there that don't know what they're doing. A lot of, you know, executives that they are who don't know what they're doing. We were one of them for a while, right? Let's be honest.
But the Ravens, pretty much, they've
always been – you know, what I kind of call that upper echelon of, you know, the top organizations in football. So it's one of those matchups that, you know, the league had it circled when the matchups sort of come out, right? Like, okay, this is one we can put on prime time. So, and, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, a lot of people are saying this could be a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a Super Bowl preview. I know Lamar Jackson was in the media either today or yesterday and mentioned that it's December. Super Bowl is in February. So he has the right mindset. I think they also spoke to Kyle Hamilton, who's a respects Brock Purdy, but is a little disrespected that they're considered the underdog going into this matchup.
You know, I always say in these situations, you want to be the team, especially, I mean, this goes further towards the Super Bowl, but the team that generally is more relaxed, more loose, at ease, generally tends to perform better.
Yeah.
You know, don't respond. I mean, if you remember, for example, speaking of that Super Bowl, we tried to ignore it at the time as fans, but yeah, you had Randy Moss coming out saying, I'm the best receiver ever. I mean, look, you're playing for the Niners, you know. You're playing for the team that Jerry Rice played for, right? Terrell Owens played for. You're here as a one year out of retirement as a veteran. That's just trying to basically piggyback on a good team and win a ring. Why are you over here talking about you're the best receiver of all time? This isn't the time to do it. Then you had Chris Culliver talking to Artie Lang, of all people. Why would you get baited into talking to him? He made his comments. I'm not going to get into that. Whatever. You know, if you want, you can look it up. You know what he said. The point is, we were that team that, you know, that sort of took the bait. And gave bulletin board material. We were the ones that couldn't have, they weren't ready. You could tell the lights were a little bright for them. Obviously, this is just a December game, right? This isn't the Super Bowl. But you look at a matchup like this, you know, and you notice, okay, which team is going to sort of blink first, right? And you have Marlon Humphrey, also great quarterback for the Ravens, but he came out today and said, "I don't respect any player on that team." Motivational tactic, maybe, but. Guess what? If you go out there and give them a big play, you're the one that looks like an idiot. You're the one that has, you know.
Yeah. If Debo and Trent show up in all black again, it's going to be a bad day for them. But I think this is a good way to measure each team. Like, each team wants to know, are they truly, you know, the best, you know? And that's this is a good measuring stick. This is a really good measuring stick to just something right before the playoffs. If we go out here and we mop the floor with these guys. I mean, you could see us take it easy on week 18 against the Rams. You know, I think we spoke off air about that game. Might have some playoff implications. I mean, a win with this game, just the confidence, and then just, you know, continue to have a stranglehold on that number one seed. But let's talk about this Ravens team, right? They are top five in offense. They are top five in defense, yards, and points. In points, they are fourth in offense and number one in defense. And in yards, they are fifth in offense and number two on defense. And I think their biggest threat, of course, is who we already spoke about. It's going to be Lamar Jackson.
No, yeah, 100%. Like you just mentioned, that's very impressive for a team to have both top five in, you know, what I call the big four in the rankings, right? I always say you can tell a lot about a team and, you know, where they are, where they should be based on where they're performing there. And total yards, you know, gained, given up, points scored, points allowed, right? But to me, top five in both. I mean, I think technically right now, I know the Niners were throughout the year. Right now, we're number three in points scored, two in yards on offense. Defensively, we gave up, 29 Arizona. So that we're just a few points behind Baltimore there. They have given up a total of 225. So we're 9 points off the mark, right? And then offensively, we're quite a ways ahead of them. We have scored 425. They're at 384. So, like I said, you know, you can tell a lot about a team based on, you know, where they are over there. This is a team that runs the ball very well. Number one rushing attack in the league. Yards, both. Here's the key: they're number one in attempts, but they're also number two in yards per attempt. So this isn't a team that runs the ball for 2 yards and a cloud of dust. Yeah, no, they're averaging 5 yards a carry. That is absolutely special.
Yeah. And leading the way is going to be the quarterback, Lamar Jackson. I think he's somewhere around 700 rushing yards this season. Yeah. So he's leading on top of any running back they have. Last week against Arizona, we allowed over 200 rushing yards. And I think reason for that is missing Hargrave and missing Armstead. I want to say today Armstead is practicing. So that's a good sign leading into the game. Hopefully we at least have him. I know that Kinlaw has been stepping it up, but I would rather much have Hargrave and Armstead in the middle to clog up those gaps when the Ravens are trying to run.
That's right. You know, just to, like you said, 234 yards to Arizona last week. I know some of those were off busted plays, just sort of, you know, like the guys were injured. And let's be honest, you know, it was a little bit of a what I call, you know, when you go into your office and it's like Thanksgiving week or, you know, Christmas week, and you know you're not doing shit, really. You're just sort of there.
Like what I'm doing right now.
Right, exactly, right? You're just sort of going through the motions. You're waiting. You're probably going to have some half-ass office party or, you know, pizza or something, and then you get to go home a little early. That's what I looked at that game as, right? Obviously, you want to win. You need to keep pace with all these other teams, but 234 yards, that's a surprise, because the previous five games, this is our rushing our total allowed. 70 to the Seahawks, 46 to the Eagles all game, 88 to Seattle on Thanksgiving, 66 to Tampa, 59 to Jacksonville. In fact, we've only given up before Arizona. We gave up 134 to Cincinnati, 160 to Cleveland, and then 105 to Arizona the first time. Other than that, we were under 100 yards every time. I mean, 41, 89, 29, 57, 74, 59, right? You know, the run defense, it's like our averages got a little skewed after the last game. But, you know, again, like you mentioned, this is a good one of those measuring stick game, because, if you know, Baltimore is going to bring it, right? They're going to come ready with their rushing attack. So
we mentioned Lamar is the leading rusher, which kind of speaks volumes with the running back. Not saying they have a bad running back group, but there's not really anyone that stands out. When we flip it over to the receiver side, there's two names. There's Zay Flowers, who I believe is a rookie this year, if not second year in the NFL. And then a name that we all know, Odell Beckham Jr., is also in the mix-up. Mark Andrews, or tight end, another Pro Bowl tight end. He, I believe, will be out for the Monday Night Football matchup. So, I mean, that's going to help us on our end, not having to cover Mark Andrews in the middle, just really focusing on Lamar Jackson's run. You know, there's going to be some schemed runs, but just really focus on Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham. Our coverage, I want to say we're top in the NFL, man, right? With Mooney leading the way with pass breakups. We have four interceptions for Mooney. We have four interceptions for Fred Warner. Yep. Right. Gip is doing a great job on safety. The rookie Brown is also, I mean, we're not really hearing much from him. And Diamador Lenore, I believe, rib injury. I'm not sure if he's going to be playing. Hopefully he is. Oliver would step in if Diamador Lenore is not starting.
I mean, it kind of worries me at times, but we'll make do with what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, you know, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't have a lot of turnovers. So I don't know if we can necessarily hope for that. I want to say we actually had a sack or a strip fumble on Lamar on one of his runs when we played him last time. Yeah, but going back to his rushing, I think, you know, it's I'm glad that we played, you know, Jalen Hurts and, you know, Kyler Murray in the last couple of weeks. Lamar is a much better rusher than either one of them, right?
Oh, for sure.
His vision, his athleticism, he's on another level. But I think, you know, in terms of how you prepare your pass rush for them, right? You know, Nick Bosa kind of got in some, you know, things in the media talking about we put out a blueprint on how to, you know, how to defend Jalen Hurts. He was really was right. You know, you just don't rush too aggressively. Don't collapse the edges. You know, keep him in front of you and force him to beat you from the pocket.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll get there. And you'll be able to disrupt the play. And I think, you know, if we're able to do that, right, that bodes well for us. What he said, no Mark Andrews. So that's what I look forward to see, you know, how does the pass rush approach it, right? Do we, I wouldn't even bother blitzing. I would not blitz. I would, you know, drop back into coverage and trust our front four to get there.
Strategically, this is beneficial for us, right? Because we haven't played Lamar Jackson since 2019. If this was a Super Bowl preview and we were to see them again in the Super Bowl, having the experience of playing him a month or two before that Super Bowl, see what we can, you know, kind of trial and error, what's working, what's not working. I think we'll be better suited for, you know, a matchup later on in the Super Bowl versus not playing him for, what, 3-4 years? I mean, we're talking about completely different teams. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. Look at our roster.
Yeah, this is definitely beneficial. It was beneficial that we played him. I can't think of another AFC team that we've played that's a potential. This is it, right? We didn't play Bills.
No, we didn't.
We didn't play. Who else is?
We didn't play KC. We didn't play Miami. We didn't play.
Yeah, we didn't play. Oh, that's right, Miami. Yeah. We did not play. We played them last year. The one that Brock Purdy came in and.
I mean, stole Cleveland. The show. Cleveland with
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Not too worried though. Not too worried.
I mean, you know, there's that stat going around about Jim Schwartz and Kyle Shanahan. Some of that, of course, goes back to Tennessee versus Houston, right? When they were both coordinators. Alex, I think I really didn't get a chance to mention it offline. Baltimore is number one in defense with their sacks. They have 50 sacks.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they have like 14 different players that have at least one sack. So what they do, they run a lot of exotic zone blitzes. You know, they blitz from the slot. They blitz from the outside corner, from the safety, from linebackers. They come from anywhere. So, you know, I think that it's different than anything we've seen. Like our it's a cliche where people go, oh, just pressure the quarterback and, you know, he'll fall apart. First of all, what quarterback doesn't, you know, is you're not better under pressure, right? Obviously it's going to affect your play.
Yeah.
You know, but number one, I think you shared a stat with me the other day that Purdy under pressure is like top, you know, top five or top three. I want to say
it's a little bit of give and take, right? If you apply more pressure to the quarterback, if you rush more people, now you have a weaker coverage, right? If you have more people covering, your coverage is stronger, but now the quarterback may have more than enough time to find, you know, an open receiver. I think you've said this before. It's a common saying in the NFL. You can't cover somebody. It's hard to cover somebody for more than, what, 4 seconds, five seconds, right? Perfect. After that, I mean, it's really impossible to cover somebody. So it's a little bit of give and take. They're doing a great job of mixing in, blitzing, of getting pressure with just their front four. So just very – I don't even know who's their defensive coordinator, but, I mean, hey, man, number one in sacks, you're doing something right. Notable defensive players is their linebacker, Roquan Smith, who actually came out the same year Fred Warner did. Roquan was the first linebacker taken, I believe.
He was,
and I think, yeah. Fred was the ninth later in the third round. Hey, both teams. Well, actually, Chicago drafted Roquan Smith. He was later traded to the Ravens. So
they freaking gave him away for nothing, pretty much. I mean, they knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him, so.
Yeah, I think they needed to get some offensive help. So, I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid to let go. You can't pay a linebacker. If you can't pay a linebacker, I mean, how are you going to pay a tackle, an edge, a quarterback?
Yeah, they got it. They traded him for a second and fifth round pick. That's giving him away.
Yeah. You have an all-pro linebacker for a good solid 5 years of his career. And I think they traded him right at his prime. I think he's playing better than what he was in Chicago. So,
Sure. Yeah, he's playing out of his mind here.
Safety Kyle Hamilton is somebody else that we should keep an eye on. Regarded as the best safety in the league. I know he's nice and lengthy. Great coverage skills. Really can do it all. Kyle Hamilton. I'm pretty sure he's a Pro Bowler, right, already? I know he's been in the league for a few years now.
This is his second year. Yeah, he was the first round pick last year. Okay. Yeah.
So he was a rookie last year.
Yeah, he's a Notre Dame kid. Yeah, 6'4". I just looked it up, 6'4". That's not common for a safety. So that's definitely a lengthy guy. I mean, I think that's become in vogue since Pete Carroll kind of got that style going, right? But, he's definitely got to look out for. Yeah. I think, like you said, this is going to be a big week where, you know, you always hear a lot about Kyle Shanahan and the motions and the shifts and some of the different formations that he comes out with. I think I want to say it was the Super Bowl 51 with Atlanta against New England when, you know, Kyle, he famously, if they had like 45 plays total, he legitimately had 45 different formations, you know.
Yeah.
If you looked at where the fullback, the running back, the tight ends, there was never one play where they lined up the same way, right? Never once that formation was repeated. So going back a little bit to what some of the zone blitzes and things that Baltimore wants to do defensively, I think it's really key with, you know, some of the – you call it window dressing, right, or whatever you want to call it, but I think that's where Kyle Shanahan can win in that chess match. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to him having some difference. And you know what? I mean, if you remember the other thing, a game like the one against the Saints back in 2019, you know, we don't really see a lot of trick plays that often. Of course, there's a reason for that. You don't run them every week, or else it wouldn't be a special play, right?
Yeah.
I think this could be a game where you see something like that.
Yeah.
There's like no rain in the forecast, right? I mean, as far as I know, there's going to be no rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see, man. Santa Clara, I mean, right now this is just, you know, random little sprinkles. So, I mean, if there is rain, it shouldn't be anything crazy. But I like what you said about trick plays. I believe that. Let's keep an eye out. You know, we might see Debo. I think a few weeks ago, we had Debo try to throw a pass. There was nothing there, but yeah. We might see something. We might pull out some gadget plays. Expect a heavy dose of McCaffrey, which is every week. It's easy to predict that McCaffrey is going to get his touches, both running and passing, and receiving. My apologies. He's definitely going to get a touchdown. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on Debo. I think George Kittle is going to be the biggest weapon right down the middle. I think George Kittle is a matchup nightmare for any linebacker, any safety.
One thing I want to add, Alex, I watched a little bit of the film of Rams versus Ravens. Yeah. You know, we mentioned before, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, of course, you know, two are good friends. They've worked together for a number of years. The systems are very, very similar, all right, in terms of philosophy. The Rams had a freaking field day, no pun intended, you know, against the Ravens. You know, they put up 31 points. I know they lost in overtime on a punt return. Mm. But no, the Rams, they were able to run the ball. They were able to move it. They averaged, you know, quite 30 carries for 128 yards. Right. And then Stafford, of course, you know, he had just under a hair under 300 yards passing. So I think obviously, you know, you have some of the best coaches in football, in my opinion, the best coach in football in Kyle Shanahan. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to have a couple of, you know, a couple nice plays dialed up, especially early. I think we want to jump on these guys early.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the formula moving forward. Is let's get it over with early, and you know, rest our guys, rest our starters. So, I mean, this is not maybe that type of game, right? This is the number one team in the AFC, so it's going to be a great matchup for Christmas. That's awesome, dude. I mean,
yeah, Christmas. I know, like you said, the NFL, you know, has been more aggressive in their scheduling. You know, they played a game on Black Friday this year. They're going to play. Typically,
Saturday,
you
know, games.
There's three Saturday games. The game we're recording this on Thursday right now. It's a game on tonight. There's game three games on Saturday. Two games on Saturday. Sorry, and then a full slate on Sunday. It's not often the NFL generally would avoid Christmas, right? Unless Christmas was on a Sunday, which, you know, it's your typical day. And even then, they would only play one game, usually late, right? But for them to have a triple header on Christmas Day, you know, I know the NBA traditionally had that day, but the NFL's, you know what, fuck it. No one watches you guys anyways, so you'd rather, right? And I guarantee you, pull the ratings on after these games. It's going to dwarf whatever the NBA pulls, right? I think the NFL draft gets more viewers than NBA playoff games do. So.
Oh, for sure.
Man, look, it's right in the thick of the holiday season. Just also want to take a quick second to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever everyone out there celebrates. I'll be celebrating for a Niner win. We're going to be rocking our alternate 1994 uniforms under the primetime lights. So I'm excited, man.
Hey, man, same here. Excited, predicting a win as always, as I do every single week. But it's going to be a fun matchup. I'm excited to see how we're going to defend against Lamar Jackson.
There it is, man. Top quality matchup. Let's go.
Let's go, man. All right, Faithful. Take care.